Today we'll be discussing something from the Canto 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll focus on the 17th verse of chapter 20. The chapter 20 of Canto 3 is titled as Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. So text 17 goes as follows.
सोनुविष्ठो भागवता यः सेते सलीरसाये लोकसंस्थां यथा पूर्वं निर्ममे संस्थाय स्वया सोनुविष्ठो भागवता यह सेते सलीलसाये लोकसंस्थां यथा पूर्वं निर्ममे संस्थया स्वया सोविनिष्टो भागवता यह सेते सलीलसये लोकसंस्थां यथा पूर्वं निर्ममे संस्थया स्वया
सह लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा अनुविष्टः वाज एंटर्ड भागवता बाय द लॉर्ड यह हु सेते स्लीप्स सलील आसये On the Garbhodaka ocean, Loka Samstham, the universe, Yatha Purvam, as previously, Nirmame, created, Samsthaya, by intelligence, Swaya, his own. When that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma, when that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma, Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. When that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma. Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. Purport, Vashila Prabhupada. At a certain time, the personality of Godhead, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, lies in the Karana ocean and produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. Then he enters again into each and every universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and fills up half of each universe with his own perspiration. The other half of the universe remains vacant, and that vacant region is called outer space. Then the lotus flower sprouts from his abdomen and produces the first living creature, Brahma. Then again, as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, the Lord enters into the heart of every living entity, including Brahma. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. The Lord says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and by me are remembrance and forgetfulness made possible. As the witness of the activities of the individual entities, the Lord gives each one remembrance and intelligence to act according to his desire at the time he was annihilated in his last birth in the last millennium. This intelligence is invoked according to one's own capacity or by the law of karma. Brahma was the first living entity and he was empowered by the Supreme Lord to act in charge of the mode of passion. Therefore, he was given the required intelligence, which is so powerful and extensive that he is almost independent of the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as a highly posted manager is almost as independent as the owner of a firm, Brahma is described here as independent because, as the Lord's representative to control the universe, he is almost as powerful and independent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord, as the super soul within Brahma, gave him the intelligence to create. The creative power, therefore, of every living entity is not his own. It is by the grace of the Lord that one can create. There are many scientists and great workers in this material world who have wonderful creative force, but they act and create only according to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A scientist may create many wonderful inventions by the direction of the Lord, but it is not possible for him to overcome the stringent laws of material nature by his intelligence. Nor is it possible to acquire such intelligence from the Lord, for the Lord's supremacy would then be hampered. It is stated in this verse that Brahma created the universe as it was before. This means that he created everything by the same name and form as in the previous cosmic manifestation. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya 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 Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatho Jayamudhirayet Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki When that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma, Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. So we are in the 20th chapter of the 3rd canto, the 17th verse. Lord Varahadev had appeared in the previous chapters. He had killed Hiranyaksha. He restored the planet Earth, which had sunk into the bottom of the ocean. After this pastime was narrated, Saunaka Rishi, who was hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked, what did Swayambhu Manu do to show the path of liberation to persons who were to take birth later on? Also, in addition to this question, he inquired about Vidura and the conversation that Vidura had with Maitreya Muni. Because Vidura had asked a question of Maitreya Muni, the question which Vidura asked was, what did Lord Brahma do to create living entities after the Prajapatis were manifested? And how did this material, this manifest universe, how was this created? So this is the question that was asked by Vidura to Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni is answering this question now in these verses. So the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matters, of which the first two are known as the Sarga and Visarga. The Sarga is the primary creation and the Visarga is the secondary creation. Usually, even in India, if you ask someone who is the creator, they'll immediately say Lord Brahma. And then he'll say Vishnu is only the maintainer. So this is the common understanding. So people cannot see the distinction between Sarga and Visarga. The common man does not know, who has not read, studied Srimad Bhagavatam, does not know that there are two types of creations, primary creation and secondary creation. So primary creation begins much before the secondary creation is done by Lord Brahma. What to speak of that? There is much that the Lord does even before Brahma begins the secondary creation. So everything is already provided to Lord Brahma. So in the spiritual world, we understand that Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately manifests as Balram. Then Balramji manifests as Narayana. Then we have the four Chaturvyuha incarnations, Shankarshan, Vasudev, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. Then from that first Sankarshan, which is called as Mula Sankarshan, comes another Chaturvyuha set of incarnations, which is again Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. That second Sankarshan is called as Maha Sankarshan. From that Maha Sankarshan comes Maha Vishnu. So these are all the Vishnu Tattva, which is present in the spiritual world. Now all these personalities who are in the spiritual world, out of that Mahavishnu comes to the borderline of the spiritual world and the material world, which is called as the Viraja River or the Karanodakshai ocean, and then Mahavishnu lies on that ocean. And therefore the ocean is also called as Karanodaka ocean. So that is about the spiritual world and the border of the spiritual and the material worlds. Now Srila Prabhupada writes, earlier in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually everything is the spiritual world. There is actually nothing called as material world in one sense, if you see. Just like, for example, if there is a country, Australia, and then even within Australia, there is a jail, there is a prison. Now, if someone lives in that prison, and if someone asks, where is this person living? So usually people say, they'll not say, he is living in Australia. Usually they'll say, he's living in prison. It doesn't matter that the prison is within Australia. So this is made clear by Srila Prabhupada when he writes that in the entire cosmos, which is everything is Brahman, in one corner there's a dark cloud, which is a ingredients for the jail, if you like. So that dark cloud Prabhupada defines as Pradhan. Pradhan is the primeval cosmic substance. Now for the purpose of this material creation, Mahavishnu glances at this Pradhan. When Mahavishnu glances at this Pradhan, which is in an inactive state, becomes agitated. And the agitated state of Pradhan is called as Mahat Tattva. This Mahat Tattva is the cause of all material creation. Again, the Mahat Tattva, if you like, is the primeval substance of the material creation. And Mahat Tattva comes from Pradhan. Pradhan is glanced upon by Mahavishnu and agitated. So that is how even the secondary creation in one sense is triggered by Mahavishnu and not by Brahma. Brahma comes much later. So when Mahavishnu glances at this Mahat Tattva, this Mahat Tattva becomes agitated. by the interaction of false ego with the three modes of material nature, there are four groups of elements which are created, which is mentioned in the previous verse. The five gross elements are created, which are earth, water, fire, air and ether. So these are created. Then the sense objects are created, which are the subtle elements, which are also called as tanmatra. The subtle elements are sound, touch, form, taste and smell. And then the knowledge acquiring senses are also created, which are the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. And then the five working senses are created, which are the speech or mouth, the hands, feet, anus and genitals. Now, all this creation lie within a shining shaped egg, which is the shell of the universe. All this is explained in the previous sections. And then, the Lord enters into each of these eggs as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Within the Lord's body, the souls from the earlier millennium are all lying in a dormant state. This is called as the state of Sushupti. It's a dormant state. No consciousness, nothing. No consciousness whereby they can act on something, wherein they can act on their desires. So they are all lying dormant inside the body of Vishnu. So when Mahavishnu enters as Garbhodakshai Vishnu into each and every egg-shaped universe, then through the perspiration of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, then he covers half of that egg-shaped universe with water, which is the Sirodhaka ocean. And then half of the universe is the nothing but outer space. There is nothingness. Now, as Mahavishnu is lying down in this way, in his own perspiration, then from his navel comes a stem. And then from on top of the stem, the first living entity is released from within the body of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, which is Lord Brahma. So that is how Lord Brahma is created. Now, and then Lord Brahma, it's not that Lord Brahma is created now, so Lord Brahma is immediately, you know, he knows what has to be done with the ingredients. We can have so many ingredients for cooking, but unless I know how to cook, I don't know what to do with those ingredients. So therefore, someone has to train me on how to assemble those ingredients together to come up with some meaningful product which can be consumed. So similarly, Lord Brahma, though he has all these ingredients with him, the Lord personally has to educate him as well as inspiring from within his heart on what to do with these elements and how to conduct the process of secondary creation. So the essence of this verse, what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us here, is that it's not that Lord Brahma is an independent living entity who has always had the knowledge of how to do secondary creation. Unless and otherwise, the Lord gives us remembrance and gives us that knowledge from within our heart, and he inspires us, he empowers us to do something, then even the most capable living being cannot perform anything in this material world. So, in essence, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us that whatever achievements that we may have, you know, in the material world or even in spiritual life, they are all coming by the mercy of Lord Krishna. So that at no point in time, the jiva becomes very proud of his or her own achievements, material or spiritual. It is also mentioned that the sum total of all the desires of all the living entities, as well as their karma, manifests as this stem of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. So that each and every jiva, once released into this particular material universe, then can act according to their desires which they have accumulated from their past lifetimes, and also they may or may not be allowed to fulfill those desires based on their, whether their karma permits them to fulfill those desires or does not permit them to fulfill those desires. So, there is an interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which comes probably later down the line, which says, karmana daiva netrena jantu deha upapateye. So, all the living entities, they are nothing but their own past karma. By dint of their past karma and their natures, we get certain bodies, which is very apt for that particular nature and for that particular type of karma which the soul has performed. So, everything is happening under Daiva Netrana, under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakrite Soyate Sacharacharam. He says that I am the supreme controller. Everything is running under my direction. So no living entity other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead can claim credit for anything that is created in this material world. Prabhupada is also talking about great scientists. Many scientists, sometimes they may feel very puffed up because of their wonderful inventions or discoveries. But if you take a step back and see, there are a lot of great scientists. In fact, the greatest scientists that the world has ever seen, most of them were God conscious. None of them failed to recognize the supremacy of the Lord. For example, Albert Einstein, who is, you know, whenever we say great scientist, the first name comes is Albert Einstein. So there's a quote from Albert Einstein that I'll read. He says that the more I study science, the more I believe in God. This is coming from the greatest scientists. I want to know how God created this world. I am not interested in this phenomena or that phenomena, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know His thoughts. The rest are simply details. What is important is God's thoughts. Everything else is just detail. So, if you like, you know, even in these sections are simply preparing us to enter the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if someone directly opens the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and then sees Lord Krishna as a small child or, you know, performing Rasa Leela with gopis, then a person can misunderstand the personality of Krishna. He can marginalize the position of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada has instructed us that we must go through all these sections so that we get a healthy reverence for the Lord and we understand who He is. So, when we go to the 10th canto and start studying the 10th canto, then we don't think of Him as an ordinary person like any Bollywood hero, no? Or Hollywood hero who is doing who is doing some mundane activities of the material world with the opposite sex. So in that sense, we have to study these cantos. We are advised by Srila Prabhupada to study these cantos very scrutinizingly. Otherwise, as Albert Einstein said, it does not matter whether one is really aware of how, you know, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu entered and how the material universe are getting converted. As long as one can have faith in the Lord and feel full faith, chant the holy name of the Lord, that's enough to go back to Godhead. But still, this is important from the point of view of not misunderstanding the supremacy of the Lord. So this was Albert Einstein. Then there was yet another scientist by the name Lord William Kelvin, who gave the sub-zero principle to the whole world. He is known as the father of thermodynamics. He says, I believe that the more thoroughly science is studied, the further does it take us from anything comparable to atheism. If you study science more, then you actually become less atheistic. If you study science deep enough and long enough, it will force you to believe in God. This was Kelvin. Yet another great physicist, Max Planck. What does he say? He says, both religion and science require belief in God. For believers, God is in the beginning. And for physicists, he is at the end of all considerations. To the former, he is the foundation. To the latter, the crown of the edifice of every generalized worldview. Pretty profound statement from Max Planck. Then finally, Sir Isaac Newton. What did he have to say? He said, We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever. So this is again Sir Isaac Newton. So we see that even great scientists, at the end of all their scientific research, have come to this conclusion that there is a supreme controller. So if these great scientists are saying that, then why can't the modern day scientists accept this view? So Srila Prabhupada is giving us that food for thought in this verse by reminding us that nothing works without the plan of the Lord. If the Lord does not plan something for us, then no matter whatever we do, we are not going to get the outcome. So the mercy of the Lord, the sanction of the Lord is required. So the Lord enters into each and every material universe not only as Sirodakshaya Vishnu, not only to maintain this world, but he enters the heart of each and every living entity as Paramatma, where he performs two functions, Upadrishta and Anumanta. He guides, he gives intelligence from within the heart to the devotee what to do in a given situation, how to do it, and he also sanctions the activity such that when we do that activity, then we can see the results of that activity manifesting. So without his sanction, there is no question of getting results of those activities. So that is the summum bonum of this verse and purport today. So, taking a small detour from the technicalities of creation, but keeping the theme of this verse intact, which is that the Lord, if he bestows his mercy on a devotee, he can make a devotee do great things in this lifetime. One is Brahma. We already saw that how Lord is empowering Brahma to do this entire creation. There is one more personality who was empowered in a different sense to become the Acharya of the entire world. He was the Paramaguru of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in one sense, he performed the role of the spiritual master of the spiritual master of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This personality is none other than Srila Madhavendra Puri, whose disappearance day is today. So, for the rest of the class, we will invest some time in discussing the glories of this great personality. So, today is the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So, Srila Madhavendra Puri's pastimes are elaborated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Leela chapter 4. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he describes that after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went to the house of Srila Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, from where he decided not to go to Vrindavan, but then he decided that I'll go to Puri. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with four of his associates, walked to Puri from Shantipur. It is mentioned that on the way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was immersed in ecstatic kirtans. In Krishna Prem. And in this ecstasy, performing these kirtans all along the way, he reached Orissa. Now along the way, there is a village by the name Balasur. And in that place, there is a very famous place called as Remunadham. Now this Remunadham is very famous for the deity of Gopinath. Gopinathji, who is also called as Shirchur Gopinath. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the moment he saw the deity, he offered obeisances to the Gopinath deity. Now as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to Gopinath ji, then a flower fell from the head of Gopinath ji into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. As soon as the flower touched Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went into a very grateful state within his heart, and then transformations of divine love started manifesting in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent that night in the same place in ecstasy, but there was another reason. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only wanted to be there with Lord Gopinath, but he also wanted to taste the famous form of Mahaprasadam that is served in that particular temple. Because every day, the custom in the temple is there are 12 earthen pots of sweet rice that is offered to Gopinathji. So, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his associates was waiting for the Mahaprasadam to arrive, he started narrating a pastime which he had heard from his spiritual master, who is Ishwarapuri. Where Ishwarapuri had talked to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the glories of his spiritual master, who was Srila Madhavendra Puri. And Ishwarapuri was extolling the glories of the pure devotional service attitude of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sat in the Gopinath temple, and he started narrating the glories of Madhavendra Puri. And that is what has been recorded by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Now, Srila Madhavendra Puri was initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya under the Sripad Madhvacharya lineage. Now, if we take the traditional Madhva lineage today, you will find that yes, they do worship Lord Krishna, no doubt about that. There is no difference in the philosophy. They say Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But usually if we find, there is always Lord Krishna along with a cow, which also they acknowledge. However, there is pretty less information or discussion on Radha Tattva that happens in the traditional Madhva lineage. So it was, but however, Srila Madhavendra Puri, though he was initiated in the Madhva lineage, his understanding of Radha Tattva was complete. And he was the first and foremost Acharya from the Madhva lineage to talk about Radha Tattva. Of course, he did not talk about Radha Tattva too much to the world, because that job was to be done by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. But he was completely conversant with Radha Tattva. So that differentiated him from other Acharyas who were in the traditional Madhva line. So Madhavendra Puri, being the pure devotee, he used to travel to all the holy places of pilgrimage. So in one such visit, he came to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he came specifically to Govardhan Hill. On seeing Govardhan Hill, it is mentioned that Srila Madhavendra Puri was maddened in transcendental love. So after doing his Govardhan Parikrama, he went to a kund which is called as Govind Kund to take his bath in that kund. This is the place, Govind Kund is the place where Lord Indra had begged forgiveness from Lord Krishna, Giri Govardhan himself, for having caused inconvenience to the Vrajavasis by sending Samvartaka clouds and incessant rain, and where Lord Krishna had to personally come and lift the Govardhan Hill. So Srila Madhavendra Puri now has reached Govind Kund. He has taken his bath and now after taking his bath, he sat down beneath a tree to take rest. So, as he was taking rest, from nowhere, a cowherd boy came to him with a pot of milk and placed it before Srila Madhavendra Puri and told Srila Madhavendra Puri, please drink this pot of milk. And then he asked a question of Madhavendra Puri, what kind of meditation are you doing here at the foothills of Govardhan Hill? Why don't you beg for food? So, he posed all these questions to Srila Madhavendra Puri because it was the custom, it was traditional for people to come and take Madhukari. But Madhavendra Puri never did that. He just sat at the foothill. He never went out to beg in the village. So, the boy asked him these questions. However, when Madhavendra Puri saw this boy, all his hunger and thirst went away just by seeing this boy. And then, in his inquisitiveness, he asked this boy, who are you? And how do you know that I am fasting, that I have not gone out to beg? How do you know all these things? So the boy responded by saying that I am just a cowherd boy from the neighboring village. And in my village, no one fasts. People come and beg for food. Of course, some people only take milk. But if there are some people who do not even ask for this milk and do not ask for any food as well, then I supply him with all the eatables. And then he went on to say, the women who came here to take water, they saw you and they supplied me with this milk and told me that I must give it to you. And then after saying that, he said, I must go very soon now to milk my cows, but I'll return back to take the pot from you. So this cowherd boy left and he could no longer be seen by Madhavendra Puri. After drinking the milk, Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and put it aside, and he was continuously gazing at the path by which the boy had left, but the boy never returned. So Madhavendra Puri then sat under the tree and began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So as he was chanting, by the end of the night, he dozed a little because he was very tired and his external activity stopped. However, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw the same boy holding his hand. And holding his hand, the boy took him to a jungle. In the jungle, the boy pointed to a specific bush and said, I reside in this bush. And because of this, I suffer very much from severe cold, severe rain, showers, wind and scorching heat. Please bring people from the neighboring village and take me out of this bush. Construct a temple for me on the hill and install me. Wash me with large quantities of cold water so that my body may be completely cleansed. For many days I have been observing you and I have been wondering, when will you come to serve me? I have accepted your service due to your ecstatic love for me. Thus I shall appear, and by my appearance all fallen souls will be delivered through you. My name is Gopal. My name is Gopal and I am the lifter of the Govardhan Hill. I was installed earlier by Vajranabh and here I am the authority. When the Muslims attacked, the priests hid me in these bushes. Now, please remove me from these bushes with care. And then gave these instructions and the cowherd boy disappeared. So Madhavendra Puri woke up from this dream, and as soon as he woke up, he started to feel intense lamentation. I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I could not recognize him. And saying that again and again to himself, he fell down to the ground in ecstatic love. He cried and cried for a long time, but he fixed his mind on executing the order of Gopalji. So in this, he gave us a very big instruction that our service is more important to us than the ecstatic symptoms which one can derive from that service. So if any ecstatic symptoms are there and conflicts with the service, then the service takes predominance. So this is the first learning that we see here. As soon as dawn happened in the morning, Madhavendra Puri left that place and went into the village. He narrated this pastime to the villagers. In his mood, he just communicated his dream to the villagers, and he requested the villagers to bring choppers and spades to clear the way. So all the Vrajavasis from there, they brought all the equipments that was required. They cut through the jungle and made a path to where the bush was there. They cut through the bushes, and then there the deity, which was covered in dirt and grass, manifested through the bushes. When they tried to lift the deity, they found that the deity was very heavy, so they couldn't lift it. So there, it's mentioned that many, many strong men had to come just to lift the deity and carry the deity on top of the Govardhan hill from those bushes. So as soon as they carried the deity to the top of the hill, they also got a big stone and a small stone behind it for support, and then that was the first installation of the deity of Gopalji. As advised by the cowherd boy, who was none other than Lord Krishna, Srila Madhavendra Puri immediately arranged for the Brahmanas to gather there with 900 pots of cold water from Govind Kund. So amidst beautiful kirtans, amidst musical instruments, an elaborate Maha Abhishek was performed for the deity. There was oil massages, there were flowers which were offered to the Lord, and then at the end of that, elaborate bhoga, which was prepared by all the Vrajavasis, was offered to the deities. Srila Madhavendra Puri personally performed the first Abhishek ceremony of the deities. It is mentioned that the Abhishek ceremony involved offering Panchagavya. Panchagavya is the 5 products which come from the cow. So Panchagavya and Panchamrit, nectar, 5 types of nectar. And then scented water was offered to the Lord. Ghee was offered to the Lord. And in this way, Srila Madhavendra Puri performed what is called as Mahasnan of the deity. After the Mahasnan, the deities were nicely decorated with sandalwood pulp and tulsi garlands, and so many forest flowers were offered to the deities. It is mentioned that the bhoga offerings covered the entire surface of the top of the Govardhan hill. That much bhoga was prepared. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes all the varieties of preparations that were made and said that I cannot describe it any further because it's impossible to describe the kind of bhoga that was prepared. Srila Madhavendra Puri personally offered everything to Gopalji. And in this way, he established the true standards of deity worship, not only as per Vidhi, but more importantly, he gave us the second lesson that deity worship is not only about rules and regulations, but it's about the condition of our heart when we are performing that particular service. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this wonderful festival was held in one day, and he describes how impossible it was to do this festival otherwise. By the inconceivable potency of Gopalji, these arrangements were made possible. So finally, after all these arrangements, after offering bhoga to the Lord, then finally Srila Madhavendrapuri offered water to the Lord for rinsing his mouth, and then after that offered the first aarti ceremony amidst the loud chanting of Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal. So everyone was chanting this and he performed the aarti himself. Srila Madhavendrapuri also arranged for a new cot for the Lord, and around the cot he constructed a little temple. So that was the first temple on top of the Govardhan Hill, and then fed all the devotees sumptuously. In fact, not only people from the nearing village, but people from all surrounding villages are also come to take prasadam there. And all of them witnessed the influence of Madhavendra Puri's love and devotion for the Lord that attracted Gopalji himself to personally appear in midst of all of them in this form. So they were all struck with wonder at Srila Madhavendra Puri's purity. So it is mentioned that just as at the behest of Srila Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. At the behest of, based on the situation of Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narasimhadev appeared. At the behest of Aditi, then Lord appeared as Vamanadev. Owing to the pure love of Srila Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopalji appeared to show mercy to the entire world. So all the Brahmanas who were present there after this ceremony were initiated personally by Srila Madhavendra Puri, and they were all engaged in different types of services. And Madhavendra Puri personally trained them in the process of deity worship. So daily, it was not that on that day the Annakoot ceremony ended, but it was just the beginning. So he had started a movement. So daily village after village used to come, and there was a roster that this village on this day will do this service. So village after village used to do this daily, and Gopalji used to be worshipped very opulently. Wealthy people from Mathura soon heard of these pastimes, and they also started chipping in. They brought expensive gold, silver, scented articles and eatables, and they started to pour in. In fact, one very rich Kshatriya from a royal family, he constructed a very beautiful temple around it, because what earlier was done was a makeshift temple around the cot, but he constructed a big temple and he arranged for all the cooking and the utensils so that the bhoga can continue. In that way, each family in Brajbhumi contributed to serving Sri Gopalji. In fact, it is said that each family contributed one cow for the service of Gopalji. As this service was going on, eventually two Brahmanas appeared from Bengal at that place, and seeing the sincerity of their service, Lord Srila Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with them, initiated them and entrusted them with the charge of running these activities in Govardhan. So as these activities were continuing, 2 years elapsed. In 2 years, once again, Srila Madhavendra Puri had another dream. In this dream, the deity came in his dream and told him that, yes, you have installed me now, but my body temperature is still very high. So I want you to go to a place called as Malaya, which is towards the south of India, crossing Orissa. So I would like you to go there and bring sandalwood from Malaya. And using that sandalwood, I would like you to come back to Govardhan and worship me daily, apply that sandalwood to my body so that my temperature can come down. So here again, Madhavendra Puri teaches us another lesson. Obviously, he had installed a big temple. All the Vrajavasis knew him. So he was in a place where he was very recognized by other devotees. But he did not wait in that place, just basking in the glory of his seniority. On the instruction of the Lord, he did not even think twice. And that instruction was more important to him than being in Govardhan. It was even more important to him than being in the physical proximity of Gopalji. who was very dear to him. So immediately he started walking towards Malaya. Of course, there was no airplanes, so everything had to be done by foot. So he started walking by foot through the jungles towards Malaya. By this, he is giving us this teaching that whatever facilities that Krishna gives us through devotional service should never be used for personal sense gratification. So walking in this way, Srila Madhavendra Puri reached Shantipur. And again, he went to Srila Advaita Acharya's house. In Advaita Acharya's house, as soon as Srila Advaita Acharya saw the purity of Srila Madhavendra Puri, Srila Advaita Acharya himself surrendered to Madhavendra Puri and asked him for initiation. So after initiating Srila Advaita Acharya, he started walking towards South India. Srila Madhavendra Puri now is walking towards South India, and finally he came to a place called as Remuna, where Gopinathji deity is situated. So that is Gopalji what we are talking about. This is Gopinathji in Remuna we are talking about now. So here the deity of Gopinathji is situated. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating all these pastimes to his associates sitting in this very temple. Now Madhavendra Puri is, again flashback, Madhavendra Puri has arrived in this temple. As soon as Madhavendra Puri saw the deities of Gopinathji, he again went into transcendental ecstasy, and in the courtyard he began to sing and dance wildly. After some time he sat down in the courtyard and he saw a Brahman who was offering something to the some bhoga to the deities. So he asked, what kind of food do you offer to the deity? So the priest explained to him the various varieties of food that is offered to Lord Gopinath. However, towards the end he also mentioned that here we offer a very special evening kheer to Lord Gopinath ji. We offer this kheer in 12 earthen pots to the Lord day in and day out. And he also extolled the glories of this. It is, he mentioned that the taste of this particular sweet rice that is offered to the Lord is like transcendental nectar. And therefore, this kheer is called as Amrita Keli. And this kheer is celebrated throughout the world as Gopinath Kheer. So there are various words for the kheer. Amrita Keli, Gopinath Kheer. So he was extolling this. And then the pujari brought the offering of 12 pots onto the altar to offer to the Lord. Now as the bhoga offering was going on, a thought crossed Srila Madhavendra Puri's mind where he said, if only I could taste a bit of this kheer. If only without my asking, someone brings just a small portion of this kheer and I can taste it, so that I can prepare a similar preparation for the pleasure of my deities Gopalji who is in Govardhan Hill. But as soon as this thought came to his mind, he condemned himself. He said, how offensive I am. Lord Thakurji, Sri Krishna is eating this food, and I am thinking of eating that same food even before it has come out. So thinking like this, he felt very guilty and very bad. And just at that time, the bell rang and the aarti began. And after aarti, Srila Madhavendra Puri quickly offered his prostrated obeisances, and without saying anything, he left that place without waiting for the kheer. Having left that place, he went to a secluded village near the marketplace, and he sat down full of guilt within his heart for having even harbored such a thought in his mind. And considering himself as very fallen, as a very ordinary man, he again began chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As he was chanting, meanwhile, the pujari had finished his deity duties in Ramana Dham temple. And he had put the Lord to rest after that. And then he also retired and took rest. As he was resting, he had a dream. The pujari had a dream where Lord Gopinath personally appeared to the pujari and spoke to him, please get up. Please get up and open the door of the temple. I have kept one pot of sweet rice for a sannyasi whose name is Srila Madhavendra Puri. This pot of sweet rice is hidden behind the cloth curtain. You did not see it because of my tricks. I want you to go and deliver this pot to him as soon as you can. Go immediately and do that. So the pujari got up from his dream, and next day morning he went to the all over the area loudly shouting, may he whose name is Madhavendra Puri, may he whose name is Madhavendra Puri, please come and take this pot. Gopinath ji has stolen this pot for you. You are the most fortunate person in the three worlds. And he, saying this, he went around. As he went around, he saw Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri just heard this, okay, and then he went and introduced himself. He said that, yes, my name is Madhavendra Puri. As soon as the priest saw Madhavendra Puri, immediately he offered prostrated obeisance to Srila Madhavendra Puri. And he narrated the entire dream in great detail. So Madhavendra Puri, given that it was the order instruction of the Lord that he honored this, Madhavendra Puri honored the prasadam. And then he washed that pot which contained the prasadam. But what did he do after that? He broke the pot into small pieces. And he wound them in his cloth and took it with him and left the place. And every day, he'll consume one piece of earth from that earthen pot, overwhelmed with ecstasy. He was afraid that now that his fame has spread in Ramana Dham, he will be the subject of glorification by one and all. And a pure Vaishnava never wants to hear his or her own glorification. So he immediately left that place. He knew that when people will come to know of this tomorrow, there will be great crowds that he will attract. So secretly, worshipping Krishna was his only desire in life. Secretly worshipping Krishna. So in his heart, he offered obeisances to Gopinath ji. He did not even go and take darshan of Gopinath ji to thank him for the sweet rice. In his heart, he offered obeisances and left Ramana Dham. And finally, he reached Jagannath Puri. By the time he reached Jagannath Puri, fame wouldn't leave him. It had already preempted itself. So everyone was aware of his reputation. So a thought came into his mind that he should not go to Jagannath Puri. But then here he teaches us another lesson. He said that my thinking should not come in the way of my service to the Lord. Because the Lord has specifically sent me here for the sandalwood. He did not forget that. So he said, okay, so it doesn't matter if I have to hear these glorifications for the service of the Lord. As long as I finish that service, let it happen to me. Because for a neophyte devotee, glorification is actually good. They'll say, oh yeah, I thank the Lord because so many people are recognizing me. But for a pure devotee, it's a big austerity to be glorified. But he is willing to undergo the austerity of being glorified so that it doesn't become an obstacle to his service. So He went about his job of searching for this sandalwood, which he finally got. When he got the sandalwood, he realized that the sandalwood was so heavy that it cannot be carried by any one person. So therefore, arrangement was made for Srila Madhavendra Puri. He got one brahmana and one servant to carry the sandalwood all the way to Vrindavan, Govardhan. Okay. So he was also given all the necessary travel documents, because in those days, if you have to take sandalwood, then there are processes of toll payments that have to happen between one state to another state. So he went through all this rigmarole of doing this paperwork, etc., etc., just to take the sandalwood. Finally, with all that, he started walking towards Govardhan, and along the way he reached Remuna Dham, where Lord Gopinath ji is there. He again went to the same temple, and then after honoring the sweet rice in the temple, he was taking a rest. As he was taking a rest, he had his third dream. In this dream, who came to him? The local deity, Gopinath ji himself, who had stolen the kheer for him, came in Madhavendra Puri's dream and said that I have already received all the sandalwood and camphor that you have brought. Gopalji came to his dream. Gopalji came to his dream and said that I have already received. Gopalji of Vrindavan came to his dream. I made a mistake. Sorry about that. Gopalji of Vrindavan came to his dream and said, I have already received all the sandalwood and camphor that you have brought. Obviously, he had not reached Vrindavan at all. So, how could he have received? So, Gopalji spoke to him saying that I am non-different from Gopinath ji, who is right now in this temple. So you have brought the sandalwood there and offered. So I have accepted here. So you don't have to bring it all the way. Just grind all the sandalwood together with the camphor and then smear it on the body of Lord Gopinath in Remuna Dham. And be there till it is finished. And that way, my body temperature in Vrindavan will reduce or cool down. So the Lord revealed that Gopalji and Gopinathji are non-different. They are one and the same personality. So it was summer season at that time. So Srila Madhavendra Puri stayed there till the entire stock was finished. At the end of summer, then taking permission from the Lord, Srila Madhavendra Puri left for Jagannath Puri to perform Chaturmasya ceremony. Today it is mentioned that the same temple of Gopinath is present in Remuna. I have not been there, but some of you might have visited the temple. So it is mentioned that the pujari in Remuna, if he is very pleased with you, he will not only offer you, you will not only get kheer, but he will also give you a little bit of the paste of sandal which is offered to the deities. Anyone received it here? So we have to please the pujari there and we'll receive it. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Gopalji himself, who was narrating these pastimes, he personally started praising his Paramaguru, Srila Madhavendra Puri, by narrating these wonderful pastimes, describing the characteristics of Srila Madhavendra Puri's love for Lord Krishna. After narrating this pastime, Lord Chaitanya turned to Lord Nityananda and he said, Nityananda, now you judge whether there was anyone within this world who is as fortunate as Srila Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued extolling the glories of Srila Madhavendra Puri and said that he was completely renounced and he was always very silent. He was uninterested in anything that was material. And for fear of talking about mundane things, he always liked to be without any companion. Because the moment we have companion, we will talk mundane things. He liked to be alone. So, this was a very advanced consciousness. After extolling the glories of Srila Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read a famous verse which had come out from the lips of Madhavendra Puri himself in front of Lord Chaitanya. The verse, the English translation of the verse is, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved Lord, what shall I do now? What shall I do now? This verse came from the lips of Madhavendra Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, this verse was the same verse which was chanted by Srimati Radharani just after Krishna left Vrindavan for going to Mathura. So it was Radharani's mood. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved Lord, what shall I do now? So this was spoken by Radharani, which represented the pangs of ecstatic feelings of separation that she felt from Lord Krishna. This is a Vipralamba Bhava. So worship in separation or Vipralamba Seva is considered in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. So it is mentioned in Gaudiya Sampradaya literature that these ecstatic feelings of separation, which were experienced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself during his appearance, came to him from Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri, his own spiritual master. Of course, we have to understand that the Lord really doesn't need any guru, but this is how the Lord glorifies his pure devotee. It is mentioned, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, that anyone who hears this narration with faith, anyone who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of God at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So anyone, so this is the Falashruti for having heard this pastime for all of us. So with this, we glorify Srila Chaitanya, Srila Madhavendra Puri, by loudly saying, Srila Madhavendra Puri Mahashaya ki
jai.
Sri Sri Radha Sri Chor Gopinath ki
jai.
Sri Sri Giri Govardhan ji ki
jai.
Sri Sri Radha Vallabh ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur Abhimana. Any questions, comments, corrections? We still have 2 more minutes. Yes, Prabhuji. It's all on the same path, going towards Mathura. I don't know exactly where Malaya is, but I understood when I studied this pastime that it is along the way. That, can anyone add to that? Geographically, where Malaya is today? Towards South India, right? Yeah, but when you come from Vrindavan, you have to pass through Orissa and then come down to, that's the path which he followed. That's why he came to Jagannath Puri, then came here, again went there. It is mentioned that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from the lips of Madhavendra Puri. So I am assuming that they could have. I don't know. Again, can anyone else? Anyone who has read? Who can confirm this? Whatever I have heard and read, that's, I inferred that. So, but maybe we can ask, I don't know, Gopinath Prabhu is not here.
we can ask him during prasadam if we meet. Okay. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Shri Prabhupada ki.